Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. My dear brothers and sisters, before I actually started the khutbah, I have seen a whole Palestinian family who was riding a car, and these Jews have actually killed everybody in the car, the settlers, including a child. I don't think he's more than 5 months old. Everyone was in a pool of blood. And subhanAllah, these tragedies which we see every day in Palestine, it's a bad sign for the whole Ummah. Because Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and many scholars have said, if Palestine, if Jerusalem is in a good shape with regard to the Sharia, protection and honor, that means the whole Ummah will be in a good shape. And if Jerusalem is in a bad shape, that means the whole Ummah is in a bad shape. Why? Because the biggest enemies of Islam, Jews and Christians, they would always try to get control in Jerusalem. And if they got control in Jerusalem, they got control in Jerusalem because it was weak. And there was no Sharia, or at least not proper application for the Sharia. And this is a sign that we are in a bad state in our Islam, and in our honor, in our understanding of Islam, and also in our carrying out duties. There is other elements of failure now. We shall not exclude ourselves and our leaders from this kind of failure. And we shall not exclude them also from the wailing tune as well. The wailing tone, we should actually add these leaders into it and our negligence into that. We shall no longer say it was conquered by Umar al-Khattab and liberated by Salah al-Din. We also have to add to it that it was lost because of the apostate leaders and Arafat as well. And we should add to it as well, and it will never be liberated unless the Ummah liberates Palestine for the sake of Allah to apply Sharia. This land has never been liberated or opened unless the believers were opening, they were fully tawheed, they have fully tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they didn't want to open it for anything else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we see most of the groups, they are willing to go. Even Hamas, even all these people, they are willing to go in cooperation with apostates who are not applying Sharia, who don't have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Arafat himself, during the Intifada, some of his nightclubs and his hotels which serve his wine and have all these haram things inside it, has been burned. Jews, they want to punish him through his money, so they burn some of it. Obviously, he has insurance on them, he doesn't have to worry. But look, this land, this holy land, will never be liberated because Jews are too clever for us. I'm sorry to admit that, but this is a reality. They are too clever for us. Wallahi, if we don't go according to the Sharia in every inch, they will eat us like hot toast. Not because they are crazy, but because we are fools. And we tend to be fools every day more than the previous day. And then I'll go to the lesson of today, just explaining one more expression about the Quran. We have reached to the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the children of Israel, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذ قلتم يا موسى لن نؤمن لك حتى نرى الله جهرة. You have said, O Moses, we will never believe in what you say to us unless we see Allah plainly, nakedly. فأخذتكم الصاعقة وأنتم تنظرون. Then you are being taken by the thunder, by the lightning, while you've been looking. So the scene of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is an expression which has known into the Ummah. There was a slight dispute among the Sahaba about the ability to see Allah. There is many bid'ah groups in our time and in our previous time. They making bid'ah out of the scenery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Could it be done? some they claim that some normal people can see Allah at any time. It's worry. Sufi worry. Some they say it can never happen. Some they say it could happen to some people or happen to Prophet Rasulullah. This is why we need also to elaborate in that, in this issue. Let's see, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is our Lord. Everyone wants to see Allah, but everyone should know his limits, and everyone should deal with the unseen only with verses. No prophecy after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody can claim anything without a clear verse. And every verse, every correct verse, has right to be practiced right. It shall not be ignored, and it should not be exaggerated to cover for other verses. So when we look about this term, we should get the verses and the reality. The hadith sahih, not any hadith, and the clear verses from the Quran. In regards to seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, scholars of Al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, they say that it is possible in dunya, but it will happen indeed in the hereafter, at least for the believers. Because there is a verse in the Quran where it says, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ. Beautiful faces. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Looking directly at the road. Also the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said to the Sahaba, would you ignore or would you have any difficulties to see the moon when there is no clouds, when it's full? They will say no. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise you will see Allah, you will see your Lord in the hereafter. You can't see anything. You will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. So that verse in Sahih Muslim was translating that verse which is in the Quran, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. So we know in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will see him. Also, during the scenery of the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to the believers in a less form than they expected him to come. In the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the angels to call for everybody in the hereafter, everyone follow his Lord or follows his God. Everyone follows his God. So people will follow the image of Isa, not Isa, because Isa alayhi salam is a believer, until the image of Isa take them to the fire. The Jews will follow the image of Uzair. The Hindus will follow the cows. And everyone, the fire worshipper will follow the fire until they take them to the fire. Save the believers, and amongst them the hypocrites. They will be standing, they wouldn't follow anything. Because the hypocrites, they follow the believers. They always in the edge between Islam and Kufr. But in the hereafter, now they know the reality, so they not only have to follow the believers, they have to stick tight to them. They have to cover their darkness in the light of the believers. So Allah will come to them in a form which they don't recognize it from the names and attributes which they have been studying in dunya and which have been input in their purity, in their nature. So Allah will ask them, what are you waiting for? So we are waiting for our Lord. This hadith in Sahih Muslim. Then he said to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would you know him? If you see him, you say yes. Then he said, I am your Lord. Then they said, A'udhu Billah. He says, Allah is coming to them in a different form. And they start falling in one another, afraid that they become near or tarnished by shirk. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show them his right image. But how? He will show subhanahu wa ta'ala only a part of his leg. This is in Surah Noon. يوم يكشف عن ساق ويدعون إلى السجود. Allah will show subhanahu wa ta'ala only a part of his leg which suits his mighty. It says in Surah Noon that in the day where a part of the leg will be shown to the believers, and then they will be asked to prostrate and they cannot frustrate the hypocrites. Hypocrites cannot frustrate. When everybody see that path, everyone will rush to prostration. The hypocrites, their back will be made straight. One as one blank of metal. They will try to prostrate. They will keep falling back. So indeed we know that Allah could come subhanahu wa ta'ala in a form which it can be not his form, to examine the believers, to test the believers, and to expose the disbelievers and the hypocrites. This is with regard to the hereafter and the sinner of the hereafter. Also in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we will see him in Jannah. In a general ayah, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً. For those who have done good deeds, we will give them good thoughts. We will add extra. And that extra is explained by the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ in Sahih Muslim as well, that when Allah will ask the believers, when they enter Jannah, do you need anything? He said, no. Anything else? No. You have saved us from the fire. You have entered this paradise. You have given us everything we want. What else can we have? We can't imagine anything else whom we can fulfill the desire or have any more enjoyment in Jannah. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He will show them His face, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they will be looking. They will stop this near enough earthly enjoyment with regards to the looking to their Lord, their Creator, the beauty of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will be, you know, wanting nothing but that. Keep looking at Him, enjoying, become more beautiful just to look at Him, just for looking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, this is only to prove that people in Jannah will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the face of Allah. The kuffar will not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dunya or in the hereafter. For them, they did not believe in who created them or given his right. They have no right even to see him, life or death. When it comes to seeing Allah in dunya, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we have seen, he explained to us that you cannot see Allah, according to hadith in Sahih Muslim, also Rasulullah said, you will never see your Lord unless you die, or until you die. He said that hadith to warn against the false Messiah, the Jahl, because he will claim that he is the Lord. But then Rasulullah said, you will never see your Lord until you die. That is the guideline. Children of Israel, they wanted to see Allah. They were hit by thunder because they asked in arrogance. They shouldn't have asked that. Because Allah showed them all the signs with Musa alayhi salam and the Torah and everything. But yet, they still ask to see Allah. And when a prophet is sent with some signs, then people, when they see the signs, they have to obey him. And they have to follow what he says. They can't ask for more. And especially that kind of question or request. But when Musa alayhi salam, he asked Allah to see him, it was different. He was not punished. Why? Because Allah made an appointment with him to meet him at a certain time, at a certain place. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to him. Scholars said that Allah talked to him twice, in that incident and in another incident. When he heard the beauty of the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he forgot himself. Then he was concentrating about the beauty of the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he couldn't resist. He said, oh Allah, let me look upon you. It is something which he couldn't resist. Like somebody, when you put him in the door of paradise and he starts hearing the enjoyment and the voices and smell the beautiful things and see that thing, he can't resist. He wants to go in. Even if he cries, even if he crawls, even if he does anything, he can't, something beyond his capacity from the enjoyment and from the nearer he wants to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah was crying to him. He didn't tell him, I want to see you, unless if I don't see you, I will not believe, like the children of Israel say, I want to see you, because that's more honor to me. He knows Musa alayhi salam that Allah did not talk to people before him. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you will not see me. But look at the mountain. If it stands still, then you will see me. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed a part of him to the mountain. And the mountain turned into dust. Nothing but dust. Every atom of the mountain wanted to prostrate in the top of another until it became dust. And that violent sound which had happened from the mountain, from that mountain, makes Musa alayhi salam go in a faint, become unconscious, and he was flat. فلما تجلى ربه للجبل جعله دكا وخر موسى صعقا فلما أفاق after a while he starts regaining his senses. Then he said, O Allah, قال سبحانك, glory to you. إني تبت إليك, I return to you in repentance. وأنا أول المؤمنين, and I am the first to believe. Doesn't mean the first to become a believer. Before him there is Ishaq, or Yaqub, or Yusuf. He's the first of his nation to believe that he cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his form, in Musa's form. Because our form is the form to go. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's form is the form never to go, to stay forever. And when Allah allows us to see him, he will give us a form, a new body, a new senses, which will stay forever. That's why we can receive, at least. Even the mountain will go. That's why he couldn't receive the strength. When we die, Allah gives us body after that. Even our eyes, it lasts forever. Our body, even our clothes, it doesn't go clear, it doesn't go dirty, or it doesn't even get old. But this life is not possible. Unless Allah gives subhanahu wa ta'ala a certain power to whom he wants. And Allah doesn't give certain power for things which are not useful. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give like that. He gives with wisdom. Imagine the children of Israel. Musa alayhi salam talked to God. Look, they deal with each other, they deal with other people that they are themselves gods. Imagine if Allah allowed Musa alayhi salam to see him. What would they will be doing? They would be urinating people in the street. They think they were more than God. An arrogant nation. Allah gives them with wisdom. The nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not arrogant. And Muhammad is the last messenger. And there is hadith which shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to see him. With a dispute among the Sahaba. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was the first to ask about the verse, وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَىٰ عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ, that he have seen him another time on the tree of Muntaha, which is in the top, in the sixth heaven or in the seventh heaven, according to two scholars. The scholars say, some say it's above the seven heavens, and others say it's in the sixth heaven. However, then he answered me, that was Jibreel alayhi salam, that was not Allah. So that's why she was always denying that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seen his Lord. But Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, when he was asked by his student Ikrimah, he sent him a letter and said, did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seen his Lord? Then he said, yes. That is the general answer. He said, yes. It could be decisive to you, but according to other hadiths, it's general. Because him, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, as well, he said in another hadith that he has seen Allah with his heart. So that's more specific. There is other more specific hadith than this. The hadith of Abu Zar in the Sahih Muslim, radiallahu anhu, when he said, narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Nurun anni ara, light. I see light. In another hadith, he said, I have seen light again. Ra'aytu nuran. So that means he has seen. Seen light is with the eye. The Abbas said is in the heart. Another more explicit hadith, which is narrated by Imam Ibn Mardaway on the authority of Afa, it actually combined all this in the authority of Ibn Abbas. He said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not see his Lord with his eyes, but he saw him twice with his heart. Twice with his heart. With these kind of verses, the worthy scholars who asked and put all the verses of the Quran and the Sunnah together, they concluded that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he couldn't see Allah with his eyes, but he saw some of the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he couldn't see Allah. He only saw some of the light. This is what his eyes have seen, the light of Allah, or some of the light of Allah. But then Allah allows him to see him by heart in two occasions. That is the conclusion which doesn't ignore any verse, any correct verse. And it doesn't exaggerate in any verse. This is why we can't say Sayyidah Aisha, she said wrong. No, she said right. If she said he didn't see him, means he didn't see him by his eyes. And the Sahaba who said he saw him, he mean he saw him by his heart. And those who said he couldn't see him by his eyes and he saw them by his heart, they've collected what has been disputed among the Sahaba. But some Sahaba, they didn't know that he had seen it by his eyes, they thought he saw it by his heart. Others, he didn't know that he had seen it by his heart, and they claim he saw it by his eyes. But not all the Sahaba were scholars. All knowledge has been distributed among the Sahaba. The Sahaba, in their totality, they are the most knowledgeable. But maybe you find one scholar is more knowledgeable in our time, is more knowledgeable than one Sahabi, because we see the Sahabi who have Allah told them not to eat until you can see the white thread from the black thread. He get white thread and a black thread and he sleeps. That means that some scholars in our time are more knowledgeable than this Sahabi. But there is no way that all of our scholars can be knowledgeable as the whole of the Sahaba. The totality of knowledge of the Sahaba is the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of knowledge. It can never be any less than any other generation. So this is the conclusion about seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was limits for him to see, although Allah had prepared him subhanahu wa ta'ala, alam nashrah laka sadra, and he cleaned his chest subhanahu wa ta'ala before he was ascended. But, and he gave him some more capabilities, and even Jibreel alayhi salam, he couldn't go as much as he went to Rasulullah salam, but still, there is, in that lifetime, there is barriers of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such a beauty which we cannot take, because he will be coming back. He will be coming back. That's why he couldn't see everything in the fire, because he will be coming back to earth and it will affect him. It will affect his sleep, it will affect his talk, it will affect he probably cut food, he doesn't eat any food, he probably just go for ibadah all the time, it will affect him. So Allah was showing him what is beneficial for him and what is damaging the kuffar and what is beneficial for his ummah as well. And I'm saying this because some people, they say now, look, Allah is everywhere, you can't see him. Some people said, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ar-Rahman wa ala al-Arsh istawa, he is up in his throne. Other people said, Allah said, he is with you wherever you are. That means, this is the correct ayah, that means he's everywhere. So this conclusion from people who look at one verse and leave other verses is very dangerous. And it brings bid'ah. Now we find some people, they call themselves Sufis, they said, Allah is everywhere. It means he's in my stomach, and he's in my eyes, and he's the stomach pig, in the stomach of the pig, and that is kufr. Imam Abu Hanifa says, this is kufr. Most of these people, unfortunately, are Hanafis. I don't know why they follow Imam Abu Hanifa in some points of fiqh, and they don't follow Abu Hanifa in points of aqidah and iman. Also Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he said, if you ask somebody, if somebody said Allah is everywhere by himself, then he's a kafir. By his wisdom, yes. All this, again, we have to collect all the evidence together, all the verses together, then we can find the conclusion. Allah is in his throne, yes. Allah is with you wherever you are, yes. What else? Allah reaches gazes, but gazes doesn't reach Allah. Yes. All these ayahs are serving the same purpose. But to the ignorant, he will say, Allah with us everywhere. That means he's here. No, that means you are here. And he is there. You are with me because you listen to me and I listen to you. You are with me. If you go behind the screen, I can see you, I can hear you, and I can dictate to you that I am with you and you are not with me. You're just getting older. When I want to contact you, I contact you. When I don't want to contact you, I don't contact you. I switch the thing off and I don't want to see you. You cry, you talk, you can't communicate, I can't even communicate with you. Difference of senses. Me and you have similar senses together. 1 mile, we can communicate. I can see you, you can see me. If your sight is sharper than my sight, then you can see me from 1.5 miles. I cannot see you. If your hearing ability is stronger than mine, you can hear me and I cannot hear you. That means you are with me and I'm not with you. With Allah, He is with us from His throne. After 1 mile, our gazes, our hearing ability, our senses cannot go any further. But Allah's ability, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hearer, the knower, the seer, it does not get affected for day or night, dark or light, near or far. He's got absolute names and attributes. It doesn't get affected by time, by space, by conditions, by anything. So you want to judge Allah according to your limits. So that's why He is always with you. But doesn't mean that you are with Him. Allah said you are, He didn't say, and you are with Him all the time. He said, He is with you. And He endorsed that understanding when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا تدركه الأبصار وهو يدرك الأبصار. Gazes does not reach Him, but He reaches gazes. You can't see Him, you can't go, you can't, because you've got limited resources in your capability. But He got unlimited resources, so He can see you, He can reach gazes, but your gazes cannot reach Him. So, when you look at this, Allah is nearer to you than the neck of your of the camel, the neck of your camel. Allah is nearer to you than your vein. That is all consistent. It didn't say you are nearer to Him. It didn't say you are with Him. It's always Him to you, not you to Him. That should be clear. Now, when some see some bid'ah people now are start saying, my sheikh have seen Allah and my sheikh is this and that, then we should put these people right. Because shaitan wants us to get involved in this kind of bid'ah. So we're going to start worship Allah in a way which the Sahaba did not worship Allah. And then the ummah start being fragmented and everybody is looking for superstitious things and superstitious man, and some crooks come into the picture. They rape people, they take people's money, they get married to women, they divorce women from one another, and they have murids and they have nothing. This Sahaba was not like this. Second lesson we learn from that term, my dear brothers and sisters, that this is aqidah matter, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you see the Sahaba have some differences in this matter, but they didn't call each other kafirs. Because they were all using verses. And they would all have good faith in one another. And none of them exaggerated. All what they were doing with verses. No one seen, and that Sahabi also have seen Allah. And that man is a holy man. And this one is got murid. Sahaba, they're all followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They all worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are holding tight to the verses. They don't invent. So, also sometimes in some matters which you might be think it's aqidah matters and you call your brother kafir, just hold your guns and investigate and get some more knowledge and try to be to use the verses tolerably. Don't ignore one verse because you don't like it. Maybe you don't never know. Maybe a scholar will teach you that this verse which you don't like, it's a good evidence for what you're calling for. اللهم اغفر لنا والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم نور أهل القبور من وحيين قبورهم اللهم اغفر الأحياء ويسر لهم أمورهم اللهم ردنا إليك ردا جميلا اللهم ردنا إليك ردا جميلا اللهم عليك باليهود ومن عاودهم وعليك بالنصارى ومن ناصرهم وعليك بالشيوعيين والشيعة ومن شيعهم وعليك بالمجرمين من أهل سعود ومن ساعدهم اللهم رب وفق هذه الأمة لأمر الرشد يا رب العالمين اللهم وفقها لأمر رشد يا رب العالمين اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا كلها دقها وجلها واحشرنا مع النبيين والمتقين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر لنا يا رب العالمين واحرسنا واحرس أولادنا من الضالين والمضلين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم إنا نسألك خير القضاء، اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من شر القضاء ومن شر البلاء ومن سوء القضاء ومن شماتة الأعداء ومن السلب بعد العطاء. اللهم أحينا سعداء وأمتنا شهداء، وانصر المجاهدين في سبيلك في كل مكان واجعلنا منهم، واخذل من خذل دين محمد ولا تجعلنا منهم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.